Hi, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Experts have suggested that the overuse of antibiotics, as well as lifestyle exposures such as diet and exercise, may be linked to the rising rates of colorectal cancer in young adults. However, much is still unknown about this growing trend. For patients like Fohn Gallagher, who represents one of the many faces behind the statistics of early onset colorectal cancer, so many questions remain unanswered. In this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast, Gallagher shares her cancer story and explains how her experiences led her into the advocacy field, where she now works with the Colon Club.
So just to start, can you state your name and tell me a little bit about your diagnosis and role in the cancer space?
Sure. My name is Fohn Gallagher, and I am a stage 4 rectal cancer patient. I was diagnosed when I was 29 years old, and I've been at this for about 14 and a half years now. You know, when I first started, it was obviously a scary place to be. My husband and I kind of say that we white knuckled it through the first part of it, because being at the cancer center where everybody was at least double my age, you know, I was really the unusual face around the cancer center, you know, constantly being asked, who are you here to visit, kind of a thing. And it's like, no, it's me. And so then, you know, as time progressed and treatments went on, I found the Colon Club, and their focus is on early age onset colorectal cancer. And so that was a place where we were able to find people who really understood what we were going through. And it helped tremendously, because in-person support groups at the hospital just made no sense for us. And so this was a place where I really learned that it's okay to ask questions of your doctors, your medical team. And not only is it okay, it's encouraged. And I started learning what questions to ask. And so it was really the beginning of my colorectal cancer education, I think. You know, from there, my advocacy bloomed, and I just could not get enough of the advocacy world. So as time's gone on, I've done all sorts of things, like participating in Fight CRC's Call on Congress. I've been able to be a part of Stand Up to Cancer campaigns, and I'm currently president of the Colon Club.
So let's talk a little bit about how you came to be diagnosed, because at the age of 29, you know, you're not going for colonoscopies and things like that. You kind of have to really speak up, I feel like, to even get diagnosed. How did that happen?
I was actually misdiagnosed initially, and unfortunately, that's a very common theme. Most people that I have talked to have seen at least two doctors before they were properly diagnosed. At the time, I was preparing for our wedding. You know, there was a lot of stress with work as well. And so there was just a lot of stress around me. And I started experiencing some severe stomach cramps. I mean, like double me over kind of stomach cramps. I went to see a gastroenterologist, and I was dismissed with IBS. And I was a little bit anemic. And so he gave me iron pills because he said, you're too young for cancer. At the time, I actually did ask for a colonoscopy because I wanted to find out what was going on with me. So, you know, I just went on with life. I just gutted through the pain and dealt with whatever symptoms, and kind of just went on with it, thinking that there was nothing else to be done. We moved right after the wedding. And one day we were just, my husband and daughter were playing with the sprinkler and the baseballs in the back. And I was sitting there, and I just overwhelmed with fatigue suddenly hit hard. And my husband came in to check on me, and he kissed me on my forehead and was like, oh my God, you're burning up. We're going to see the doctor now. And I tried to fight it. I tried to say, no, I'm fine. It's just a summer cold or whatever it was. And when we went in, I weighed in at 85 pounds. So, you know, I'm small to begin with, but even that is just crazy skinny. And so the nurse practitioner that I saw, fortunately, had the foresight to refer me to another gastroenterologist who didn't like any of my answers because it didn't point to any one thing. And so he scheduled a colonoscopy.
And that's how you finally received the diagnosis of cancer?
Yes. And he knew it right when he went in.
Really interesting. So when you found out that you had cancer, now you're newly married, you have a family, what was that like?
It was surreal because I have been healthy all my life. And really, aside from the cancer, I'm quite healthy. It's kind of odd to say, but it's true. You know, I ate right. I exercised. I didn't have the family history that I knew of. I did everything right. And I had never been sick, and all of a sudden I have cancer. And, you know, we had moved up north to be with my stepdaughter. And so I was away from family. I was away from, you know, my network of who I would normally lean on to help bring over meals and things like that. So my husband did everything. I mean, he burned the candle at both ends. I mean, he took care of my daughter and I, and that's the way we did it.
And so how did you get into the advocacy space, and why was that something that was important for you to do?
So, as I said, I was a part of the Colon Club. On the forum was the first place that I went to with news, you know, aside obviously from my husband. It was where we shared news, we celebrated victories, and we cried together on those that had moved on. And there was one person in particular, Belle, who just, her mantra was, don't retreat, reload. And she was just so feisty, and she was really somebody that I looked up to and I got to know. And she told me that I should apply for their magazine, the Colander 2.0, and that's been rebranded as On the Rise now. But at first I resisted. I'm not one to go do a magazine, and I didn't really understand that it was more about the retreat and not the magazine. It was about connecting with 11 other people who 100% understood. You didn't have to guess at each other. It was a week really of connection, and we all try to describe Colon Camp, and it's just sprinkled with magic and pixie dust is the best I can tell you, because something happens there and I came out the other side a different person. But Belle passed on, and that's what forced me to apply. And it was after that I could not get enough of the advocacy.
So that sounds a lot different than the community and the people that you were surrounded by when you went in for treatment. Can you tell me a little bit about the treatments that you received and what it felt like to be surrounded by people who were much, much older than you?
I got a lot of the I feel sorry for you looks and treatment, because they were all much older and established in their lives, and they all felt like they had the chance to live their lives. And so it's fine that, you know, but it's so unfair for somebody at 29 to get it. And that didn't sit right with me. You know, I'm not one for people to just feel sorry for me. I'm more of let's go after this thing and fight it. Right. So it was a difference in that sense. But when you go to the same treatments, you're all kind of on the same schedule, you see the same people. And so I got to be friends with a lot of them, and we talked, and it wasn't so different in an emotional experience. I think there was just a lot of emotions to be felt, and the only way through it is to go through it.
And so in recent years, we've seen a lot of research coming out that the AYA, adolescent and young adult population, you know, colorectal cancers are increasing in younger individuals. As someone who went through that, what did you feel and what was your reaction to seeing research and news updates saying that this is happening to more and more people?
Vindication and validation. You know, it's something that the Colon Club has been telling and trying to scream from the rooftops. And when it finally got acknowledged, it was just like, oh my God, yes, finally, after a decade or so of telling you people this, like you're finally understanding and seeing it and putting the focus on it. So now the next battle is to not just get the recognition, but the funding behind it to do the research. Because when you take a look at the funding that breast cancer gets, it's so wildly disproportionate. If we could get a fraction of that kind of funding, I think that there would be unbelievable progress made.
Absolutely, yeah. So what's your health status now? Are you still in treatment? And what's next for you by way of advocacy, personally, professionally? You know, what's coming next?
Well, as far as my health goes, I am currently in treatment. I was on maintenance chemo, but I went back to a harsher regimen of FOLFOX plus Avastin back in May, I believe. So my cancer is slow growing but persistent. It does go away for long periods, or I'm stable for long periods, but it keeps wanting to come back and manifest itself. So when it does, we address it. I've gone through probably every treatment out there except for HIPEC. Thankfully, I haven't had to go through that. You know, chemo, radiation, all your standard of treatments, including CyberKnife. So I've kind of gone through all that. As far as what's next, I took a pause on my career. I had gotten to the point where I realized I really needed to do advocacy. And so I actually pivoted my career. I had been in the data industry for insurance for a couple of decades. And it wasn't hitting that advocacy bug. So I pivoted to a startup company that was health tech that was actually revolutionizing the ostomy bags. And so I took a pause, and right now I'm going to focus on my, you know, being president for the Colon Club and other advocacy opportunities. But beyond that, I think that I'm just continuing to become more and more involved on the research side of things.
That's awesome. I love it. Is there anything else about your experiences that you want to discuss?
No, I think that it's great to see that the attention and focus is being put on this. I think that this is a real chance for the colorectal cancer community to really unite and have our voices heard.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.